What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Nats Insider Podcast for another week. Got a good one for you today. Be joined by a Nationals fan favorite. I mean, if I'm listing former Nationals and where they rank in popularity among the fan base, this guy has to be in the top three. I'm serious. Top five at a minimum? At an absolute minimum, it's top five. Gio Gonzalez will join me on the Nats Insider Podcast. Also be joined by Joe Dillon, former Nationals assistant hitting coach at the big league level, left the organization for a couple years to be the hitting coach with the Phillies, and now he's back in the organization as the minor league hitting coordinator. He will join me in a bit as well. But first, let's get to Gio Gonzalez, and we'll get right into it because Gio's a talker, and it was great catching up with him. Long time Nat, joined the organization in 2012, had so many good years with the Nats, and always had a smile on his face. Great catching up with Gio, who still lives here in the area in his retirement, out in the Bethesda area. Gio Gonzalez, my chat with him from recently.
Gio, how you doing?
Keep your composure right now, Coco. Keep it down, all right? We don't want too much excitement out of you. No, I'm doing well, man. Thank you for noticing. I'm a local out here in the Bethesda area. I'm incognito, just blending in with the crowd now.
Just living the dad life out in Bethesda like anybody else.
That's right. That's right. The boys are in everything now. Soccer, baseball, golf, piano. You name it. I've got a list of Uber driving to do with my kids.
Making up for lost time, for sure.
You said it.
Let's start there, Gio. I'm always curious when guys stop playing what the transition is like over to the other side, as a lot of players like calling it. What's it been like for you the last couple of years? 2020 was your last year playing. You signed with the Marlins, I believe, in 2021 last year in spring.
I did.
Yeah, and then decided to hang them up in spring training. So it's been, you know, a little over a year now since you did retire. What has that time been like for you?
It's been busy. I mean, I know that you definitely got to keep yourself active. I've been working out at a certain gym right down the street from where I live. Ecken Road, Team Ecken Road. There's a gym right there, right up the road. And then I take this my kids to, Enzo's in a baseball program, the BCC, and his coach and his team. Yes, his team's name is the Nationals. So it was 100% sign up. He's got such great teammates. I mean, definitely a dad community there. We're all hanging out. We're all just going to the pool and just bringing our kids along to baseball games on Sunday and practice on Tuesday. I signed up with my buddy and my neighbor at a softball co-ed team. So we're out there swinging the softball bat. Yeah. Definitely keeping myself busy. Both my boys love Top Golf. Gabriel's in karate. The list goes on. Tennis. Luckily, I got Harolyn too to help me out with tennis and a couple of swimming in her backyard. So she's always inviting us over. I just feel rude and just if I walk in there, hey Harolyn, just walk in and act like I own the house. So it's like I gotta definitely call. The invitation's always there. I'm always calling, but I'm hanging out also a lot with my friends, close friends. I've known them for over 10 years now. Lee Shanker and his wife, Stacy Shanker, and their kids, Logan, Ryan, and Alyssa. They're unbelievable. They've been season ticket holders since day one and great close friends of mine since the beginning of time. So of the national time when I met them and Nationals program. But no, they've been 100% supportive, helping me out, kind of keeping me busy and just finding activities to do with the kids.
So what type of a softball swing does Gio Gonzalez have? You hit three bombs in your career, one in three consecutive years. I don't know how many Nationals pitchers can say that. So what are we talking about here? Give me a scouting report on Gio Gonzalez, the softball player.
All right. I'm 9 out of 10 in my softball hitting career right now.
Really? You're batting 900.
I'm batting 900. Couple triples because these legs ain't as fast as they used to be. The slow up is definitely, once I round second, I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Got to shut it down. Yeah.
Shut it down. The hammies and the quads ain't doing it like they used to. So
we're old men now, Gio.
You said it. Yeah. Cheeseburgers ain't cutting it like it used to.
I know. Gio, there's so much to talk about with you about your Nationals career. You came over in that trade with the A's before the 2012 season, I should say. You get traded the offseason prior. And I know that you had really put down some roots there in Oakland. You loved that community there. You loved playing on that A's team. So let's go back to that moment. You find out that you've been traded from the A's to the Nationals. How did that hit you? What was that like for you mentally, emotionally?
It was definitely an emotional change for me. I think, I have to say that the fans helped me feel more welcomed at home. It was definitely after every game, I stopped in the parking lot and spent hours talking to fans and definitely the friends and family that I met out in the left field bleachers, the ladies that were super nice to me. You know, they had this funny banner of mine that was called the Hella Geo. Cause for me, it was like, I don't understand that word hella. Like it's such a short version of another word. So they
very used California.
Yes. And that was it. So I coming from Miami, I didn't know what that meant and this and that. So they made a banner kind of like a joke, but it became such a cool thing. It'll be the first thing I would look at to see if they brought it out on the days I pitched. But the fans were so welcoming. The season ticket holders were so unbelievable. The staff was incredible. The people that worked in the stands. I remember days that I pitched, I put the music on of Motown and stuff like that. I had Ray Fosse, God rest his soul, used to come every start of mine down and listen to music. He used to come down there and talk to me a little bit. You know, I had help like Dallas Braden, who was always by my side, coaching me up. And then when I was coming up, there was Frank Thomas, Mark Ellis, Eric Chavez, who now is the hitting coach, Casey Chavez, his brother, who was like my mentor. Hideki Matsui is to my right. I had the young, talented, Trevor Cahill and you know, Brandon McCarthy. The list goes on. And then you got all these guys that were so welcoming and helping and helped me develop to the player I was, getting prepared for Washington. I remember Billy Beane telling me he's putting me in a spot where I have a chance to win. He thinks that the Nationals was going to be the next team to kind of break out and make a name for itself, which is true because this was at the time you guys signed Jason.
Yep.
Bryce was just coming along and Strasburg was in his form, you know, where he was out there just doing Strasburg things, making unbelievable history. And then Espinosa, Ian Desmond, I played against Desmond in high school. So I was super excited to come over and kind of like participate. I mean, you had Jordan Zimmermann, who was already an established pitcher and becoming one of the big names there. And we had great guys on the bench too, that kind of, you know, really helped out big time. I remember Chad Tracy calling it the Goon Squad.
That's right.
So that was pretty cool. Like, you know, that was definitely ahead of his time. I remember, you know, the group of guys that they brought was just unbelievable. You needed guys like Jason Wirth that was definitely keeping everybody on their toes and making sure they came to play. Where Adam LaRoche was the polar opposite. He was more like relaxed, laid back. He always brought some kind of, he brought the guys from Duck Dynasty. He brought singers. He brought celebrities over. So you were kind of like, this was like a wow factor. Me, it was like, oh my goodness, this is a whole different, you know, vibe that's going on in Washington, which was incredible. I thought the atmosphere, the coaching staff, the experience was incredible. I think even the phone call from Mike Rizzo was another excitement. You know, I remember him kind of welcoming me with open arms, and you know, the day they offered me a contract, we all sat there and had a, I think Carolyn tells the story pretty funny too. We all had a nice shot of cognac at what, 8 a.m. And I think that burn through the chest was not funny, because it was like, you're waking up. It was better than coffee, I tell you that. But no, they were so awesome. The whole atmosphere, the owners, obviously I cannot thank the Lerner family as much as I can right now. Because of them, I have an opportunity to take care of my family and be a part of Nat's history for a long, long time. So I really am grateful for the opportunity that came with the trade. And now I made such a great impression with the fans, great communication, great connection with them. Not only that, I was just happy they embraced me right away. Obviously, you too. You're a young rookie too. When I was coming up, you were you were there. Right. You're a young guy.
We were new to the Nationals together, and yeah, it was great spending all those years with you. Let's talk quickly about that 2012 team, because you mentioned it. The organization was kind of getting to a place of contention prior to you joining the Nationals, and then 2012 was the year that it all clicked, and for the first time, DC was able to experience a winning team with the Nationals. What are your memories from that group? And when did you really know that that was a team that could do something special that year and win a division title?
I think it was just the chemistry we brought. You know, I think, what was it? Edwin Jackson was there. Dan Heron was there. I mean, it was such a good chemistry, like such great guys that really mixed it all up together. Like everyone had some fun to bring to the table. There was so much personality in that clubhouse that it was just fun. DeRosa had a personality. Couldn't get DeRosa on the mic because you would just die laughing all the time. Mark DeRosa was definitely the entertainment and definitely kept everybody light and loose and relaxed. But aside from that, I mean, it was just fun. I mean, the guys came to play. Pitching was just everyone trying to piggyback off each other. We were all out there trying to throw 200 innings, you know, go out there and get the wins. It was just fun to be around. You know, no one had an ego. Everybody left that at the door. Everyone was coming to play and win. You know, you felt the vibe there. I mean, the vibe in the clubhouse, the vibe on the field, it was just like fun. You know, fans were coming in. We were packing out every night. It just seemed like even on slow Mondays, it was just like we had 30 plus going to the game. So it was like unbelievable. Where you just were always in awe with what was going on that year. That year was just a breakout year for the Nationals. And we were like so under the radar. Like we weren't expected to do what we did. And that was the more exciting part, was no one expected us to go out there and kind of do what we did. You know, Steve McCaddy as a pitching coach was unbelievable. And then you had Davey Johnson, which he's great. Like, he is just unbelievable. He was just like nonchalant. You know, he was on his toes when he needed to be. And then when he was like relaxed, he never brought a pressure to winning the game. It was no like added pressure. It was just like, go, here's the ball in your hand. Go out there and pitch. It was easy for him. I thought, we made his job a little easier for him because everyone wanted to be a part of it. Everybody wanted to get that final out. Everybody wanted to hit.
So and Gio, that was a breakout year for you too. I mean, you won 21 games that year. You finished third in the Cy Young voting in the National League that year. What did you individually find that year that allowed you to have the success that you did?
I think I definitely want to give credit to McCaddy. You know, he kept it very basic, very simple for me. Didn't try to change my mechanics, didn't try to change anything. I think our conversations on the mound were so much fun. Like, it was just great work. Suzuki, I think, was Suzuki there too at the time in 12 or 13?
So he came over at the deadline in 12.
At the deadline in 12, yeah. So Suzuki and Jesus, they were just great to work together. And Ramos came, 13, right?
Well, Wilson was there, but he had, I believe he tore the ACL in, was that in 12 or was that after? It's hard to remember. You had great catchers to work with.
As so many great catchers. I mean, and I could not thank Rizzo enough to get these guys. Like, the way he put the pieces together and the way these guys did their homework, it really did make life so much easier as a pitcher. You didn't have to think too much. I always try to go with the Mark Burley approach, was just let them do all the, you know, hard to haul work back there. I'll just go out there and throw the ball. If any mistake, right, I'm blaming it on you. You know, you just point the finger. Hey, he told me to throw it. But those were the times. I mean, we had such – and defense was incredible. I mean, we had such great outfielders, great infielders. You know, we had all the young talent. You know, everyone was coming to play their game. You know, just – again, Riz did a phenomenal job putting this team together. He really did. You saw it. The excitement in that place was off the charts. It was blowing the roof off.
Gio, you guys made four postseason appearances in your time with the Nationals. You won four division titles, and none of those years worked out the way that you wanted to in terms of advancing deep into the postseason, even though all four of those teams were definitely talented enough to have made a run towards a World Series. What was it like for you to watch in 2019 when the Nationals were able to get out of that division series round, advance deeper into the postseason, and then win the title? You obviously had some former teammates that were still on that team. You had only gotten traded away from the Nationals the year prior in 2018. So what were the emotions like for you when you watched your former team with a lot of your old friends and this fan base that you grew to love accomplish a title, but do so after you had left?
I think it was mixed emotions at the beginning because of the first, remember, we had to face you guys.
Right after the trade.
Right. So not only did just that, but we faced you guys in the wild card.
Oh, yeah, the Brewers. That's right.
Advanced. That's right.
That's right.
So that was incredible. What Juan Soto did was just the unbelievable, spectacular player that he is. You know, the guy is written for these stories. He's definitely worth every penny this kid deserves. He is phenomenal. He is the excitement of baseball. I cannot stress how much. He is a professional in the clubhouse. He is fun to watch and electric on the field. This kid deserves everything he can possibly get and more, because I truly believe he's definitely a top three player in the MLB as we speak today. As far as that, I thought that after that, it was definitely going to be a long road ahead of you guys. Had a tremendous division to play against. You had the I'm assuming the first round was the Dodgers.
Yep.
And they
Dodgers,
were,
then that, Cardinals, then Astros. Yeah,
exactly. And the great thing is we finally got to see everyone play at the level that we expected them to play at, you know, from Adam Eaton, that, you know, Sparky was, he was our guy. We needed, I remember when Riz made that trade and he traded off two of our big key players, Lucas Giolito and Lopez.
Yeah.
And I remember that trade, and we got Adam Eaton, and, you know, at the time he hurt his leg, but you could see what he did in the World Series and what he did in the playoffs. It was the guy that Riz saw from the beginning. Trey Turner came to life right after that. Like, it was just a great 1-2 combination. Howie Hendricks, he was unbelievable. He was, Howie was unbelievable. He was, I think, the MVP at the time or something like that.
MVP of the NLCS, yeah.
And that's just a taste, because they didn't know who else to give the MVP to. I mean,
right.
You guys had so many guys that were fighting for that MVP, and all of them deserved it. All of them. You know, Anthony Rendon, my all-time favorite baseball player in baseball now. You know, he's the most humble kid. John's, when he's up to bat, in the most nonchalant, you know, pressured situations. Then Juan Soto, then the lineup. I mean, the lineup was just hard to get out. Zimmerman's base hit up the middle against us in the postseason was one of the most iconic hits you can think of. Like, he literally played it off like, that was a nonchalant hit. And that was one of the biggest key hits in the game. So I thought the vibe to everyone there, the electricity with the pitching staff, everyone played the part. Bullpen was masterful. You couldn't get a better guys to fill in that role after the seventh, you know, closing the door in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. But the road ahead of you guys deserved it. What you did, it was in the history books. Coming back every, I think, what it was, a record after the seventh or eighth inning, you guys, if you kept them within a 2-3 run deficit, you guys ended up winning. That's incredible. You know how hard it is to do that? It's never been done. That's why it's incredible to see that story. And, you know, yeah, you get that bittersweet take, because I wanted to be a part of that 100%. You know, I remember going through the roller coaster rides of seasons with you guys, and the heartbreaks of the playoffs, and finally to see you guys get over that hurdle of the first round, it was like, wow, this is it. Just keep going, win it all. And, you know, bringing over Patrick Corbin to help out you guys, and seeing all the excitement in the atmosphere. I mean, it was just meant to be. You guys deserved it. And I'm so happy. I am so happy Ryan Zimmerman finally got the ring he deserved. The Mr. National finally got the ring. Every year was the hardest task because I wanted to win one so bad for him. It was not even funny. Like, I would pitch with a broken arm if I had to. You know, it was whatever I could do to make sure he walked away and ended his career with the World Series ring. And so I was extremely happy to see you guys do that.
Yeah, and obviously that ended up happening, Gio. And, you know, this has been, over the last couple of weeks, a big time in the area with all the Zim fanfare, with all the celebrations around this guy. And, you know, I know that he was an important teammate for you, like you just mentioned. I've been asking everyone that I reconnect with, all of these former teammates of late, just to share, you know, their thoughts on Ryan as a teammate, as a person. And everyone obviously has great stuff to say, but I'm just curious, you played with the guy for a number of years. What do you love about Ryan Zimmerman?
I think Ryan Zimmerman is the definition of a class act. He is as close or as very similar to the Derek Jeter of our clubhouse. He was quiet and he showed and he led by example. He was not a very vocal guy. If there was a moment that he actually spoke out, it was more of a arm over the shoulder, like, hey, you know, we got this, you know, enjoy these moments. And you can see it. There was always times where he was so funny. It's like if he says something, there was like, where did that come from? Like, you never hear that from him. You know, he's such a quiet person, keeps to himself and very family oriented. What he did for the Zim Foundation, what he does for his family, it speaks volume. What he does in the community, Zim is one by far deserves to be a Hall of Famer, is a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. What he did for the Nationals and what he went through before becoming the Zimmerman and the Hall of Famer, the World Series champion that he is, speaks on his behalf. Never, ever spoke out of line. Always represented the clubhouse and the organization with high standards. I mean, he was definitely a reason why players wanted to come over and sign with this team. I mean, he is a class act all around. He was fun on road trips, on the plane rides. It was definitely a breath of fresh air to see that side of Zimmerman, and that more relaxed Zim was so much fun, man. What a competitor. The drop down arm sling from third base across the diamond was always, that's the signature, Zimmerman. His at bats, hardest hitting right handed hitter against lefties by far, crushed every single one of them. You know, you always wanted a healthy Zimmerman because you knew in that lineup, if Zim stayed healthy, it was impossible to pitch this lineup. And it was fun to be around. You know, Zimmerman is by far Mr. National, Mr. Hall of Fame, World Series champion. And more, you know, Gold Gloves. He deserved 15 Silver Sluggers. I thought he was incredible. I can't praise him enough. And what he did for all of us. I mean, he definitely is inspiration and a role model. So I'm super, super happy for him. Guy deserves it all.
Well, Gio, great catching up with you, buddy. We love you around here. You know that. And I'm glad that all is going so well in retired life. With the kids and all the pool time and all that stuff. So appreciate you taking time to catch up with me, buddy. And please come back to Nationals Park more often. We love having you there.
All right, Coco. I'll definitely see you around, buddy.
All right, man. Take care.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. Joe Dillon did some great things with the Nationals in his first stint with the organization. He's been with the organization on a couple stints. His most recent one prior to this year saw him as the assistant hitting coach for the big league club. On that World Series team, did a lot of good things and built some great relationships with Nationals hitters. Spent 2 years as the Phillies hitting coach, and now he's back with the Nationals organization and is doing great work on the minor league side of things. He's the minor league hitting coordinator, so he's been roaming around to all the different affiliates and working with a number of hitters, and wanted to pick his brain about some hitters that he's seen this season that have really impressed him. Good conversation with my buddy, Joe D. play that for you now. Joe Dillon, the Nationals minor league hitting coordinator.
Joe D, how you doing, buddy?
Everything's good, Dan. Thanks for having me on. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you as well, and good to catch up with you. I saw you a little bit down in spring, and you've been putting in quite a bit of hard work since then. You've been bouncing around to all the affiliates, and you know, this is a role that you've made your way up through, you know, minor league ranks as a coach, as an instructor. You're familiar with working with minor league kids, you know, across different levels. So first, before we dive into some specific kids that you've worked with and seen some good stuff from, I want to just pick your brain on what it's been like kind of going back to your roots a little bit as an instructor and bopping around to the affiliates and seeing a bunch of guys.
It's been great. You know, obviously I spent most of my playing career in the minor leagues, so I'm familiar with all the leagues that we're in here, and get a chance to go back to some of those cities. Like I played in Wilmington in 99 and I hadn't been back since then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So going back in there, they've made a few changes, but it just brings back some old memories. And, you know, my wife and I were talking about it. You know, we had just been married and, you know, actually we got married right after that season, playing in Wilmington. So just some bringing back some old memories and going back in those towns and watching the young kids play again. And I love the minor leagues and the kids and trying to help them pursue their dreams and fulfill those goals. And it's fun. It's fun working with the coaching staff and the young players and all the hard work they're putting in and see the fruits of the labor pan out.
How is it different working with, you know, tons of hitters throughout an organization as compared to having what, like 12, 13 hitters at a given time on a major league roster that you're dealing with? How did the approaches change for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, in my role now, it's, you know, we're, you know, working with Troy and continuing to build on what he's built over the years and, you know, continuing to give our coaches all the information and tools needed to help develop our players and, you know, getting everybody on the same page or organizationally at what we want as an organization from an offensive perspective and getting all our coaching staffs on board with that and letting them go out and execute it. And then, you know, Troy and I are just to, you know, actually, you know, basically back them up, help them, give them another set of eyes, another perspective that when we come in and help them with the guys and when guys are scuffling or, you know, what's going on, what are they doing? Those types of things. Just, you know, pretty much putting our brains together to try to come up with some solutions to get these guys back on track. And, but it's fun. I mean, it's a fun role, but working with all these different guys, it allows for a lot of creativity. From my perspective, is just trying to come up with new ideas and different ways to do things. You know, all the coaches are different. We all coach in different ways, which is good because all the players are different, right? So just being able to help guys deal with that. You know, when you have your own team, you get caught up in your 12, 13 guys and, you know, you're kind of just locked in on them every day, all day long. And,
right.
You know, you don't, for me, this job's allowed me to get back to being creative again and kind of thinking about different ways to do things and how organizationally, how can we do things better? You know, what's going on, what's working, how can we do what we do better, use all the information and technology that's out there and see what it comes up with. So it's been good. It's been a good learning experience for me.
All right, let's dive into some of these individual kids, Joe D, that at least numerically, we look at it from afar, and there are a couple that stand out. Let's talk about Joey Meneses with AAA Rochester. His numbers are great. Tell me about this kid and what has been working well for him, what you've been working with him on, and where he could potentially go in the future.
Yeah, Joey's a big, strong guy. You know, he plays first, DHs. He can play a little bit in the outfield, but he's been really consistent at the plate. As you see with his numbers, he's doing a great job impacting the baseball. He's got a real good feel of what he's doing at the plate. He's got a feel to hit. You know, he hammers off-speed mistakes in the zone. You know, he sprays the fastball around the field. He's done a really good job. I mean, for him, his biggest thing coming in this year was, you know, just trying to, he made plenty of hard contact. I think he was like in the 90th percentile and, you know, hard contact last year against his peers. And so just trying to get him to get the ball in the air a little bit more, not meaning, you know, huge fly balls, but just line drives and backspin line drives in the gap to get, you know, and the way he impacts the balls, it turns into some more home runs, which he's had some big home runs in years in the past, but he's doing a good job with that. And he puts a great at bat together and see what happens. You know, he's kind of been one of those 4A guys. I think he was MVP of the league, International League a few years ago with Pawtucket, I believe. But he's one of those guys, just needs a chance to see if he can do it up there. So hopefully he can get that sooner rather than later at some point in time, see what happens, with the future here for him. But, we're excited about him. He's done a great job for us. And, hopefully he'll get a chance to, fulfill his dream of getting up to the big leagues.
And Joe, we've seen that at the big league level the last couple of years here in DC with Yadiel Hernandez, a guy that was a bit of an older guy for the minor league ranks, put up big offensive numbers and was just kind of waiting on that chance, waiting for that opportunity. And sometimes that's all these guys need, right? Is just a spot to open up. An organization has a need for them. And then they're able to not only realize that dream, but maybe show some people that they can do the stuff that they've been doing in the minors at the big league level.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it is about opportunity. Some guys, do great in the minor leagues and get a big league opportunity and can't cash in on it just for whatever reason. It doesn't translate at the big league level. And other guys get a chance and take off with it, as Yadiel has done. And it's been great to see him, have success up there for all the hard work he put down in the minor leagues and success he had in the minor leagues with us as well. So, there's only one way to find out if they could play up there is to let them play up there, right? So,
right.
If our big league club has a need at that position, I think Joey could be an option for us to go up there and help out.
Let's talk about Double A Harrisburg and Justin Connell is the guy that stands out offensively on that roster. Again, just looking at the numbers from afar. Talk to us about Justin Connell, what he's doing well.
Yeah, so Justin is, he's a younger player. He's working his way up. He's basically played a year at each level. He's doing well. He's done a lot of good things in the past. He has a knack for getting hits and putting the bat on the ball. For him to play in the big leagues, you need to impact the ball a little bit more consistently, learn to drive the ball a little bit better, be a little bit more selective in what he swings at. He's kind of guy that put a lot of balls in play, a lot of, pitches out of the zone in play, which is tough to make hard contact on those types of things, on those pitches. So he's going through a learning process of when to take chances to do damage and how to do it. Like a lot of young hitters will get in good counts, will take big swings and they end up missing, they'll foul off or swing and miss or pop it up or whatever. So just learning how to do those things right, is learning how to take the chances of moving your contact point up, not changing your swing, not getting too big, just moving your contact point up, so you can get the ball in the air a little bit more consistently and take advantage of mistakes. We've had conversations. Mike has done a good job with them in Double A. Just having conversations with them, home runs are thrown, not hit. You can't hit a good pitch out, right? Home runs are hit on mistakes, damage is hit on mistakes, so doubles and homers. So trying to get them to understand that a lot of young hitters, they get in a good count and they think, oh, he's going to throw me a fastball right in the middle, they take a big swing and miss. So he's going through that learning process. He's had some ups and downs, which is expected for him at the level, but he's doing a good job. He's able to make some adjustments and take off running, and he's done that a few times, and he'll continue to adapt and adjust as the season goes on. Hopefully he'll finish on a strong note and have a great year for us.
Joe Dillon, the Nationals minor league hitting coordinator, joining me here on Nats Insider. Joe D, let's talk about Low A Fredericksburg. And there's a lot of, I think a lot of people are looking at this team because they've got some recent draft picks with some high upside. Obviously, Brady House is the big name, but there's other guys on this roster as well. So talk to us about a few of the guys that have stood out to you when you've spent some time with the Fred Nats. And let's hear a little bit about Brady House, because everybody wants to hear about that kid.
For sure. We got a lot of talent down there we're excited about. Obviously, it's young talent. So they're, obviously several years away from possibly helping us out on the big league club. And they're early on in that development process as well. But there's a lot of exciting things. A couple of the guys that, had some tough years last year, I think, obviously with the COVID situation and some other things that played into that, we found a lot of the guys really had a hard time with the season last year and being prepared and whatnot. So, Jeremy De La Rosa is doing really, really well for us. He's an exciting, dynamic player that can run, hit for power, play good defense. He's real exciting. Viandel Pena, he's been playing a lot of second base down there. He's an undersized guy, but he can run and he can impact the ball for a little guy. You know, switch hits. He does a lot of really good things. He kind of makes that, you know, him and with a couple other guys make that offense go down there. He's an exciting player for us. You know, Eraldi Diaz, the catcher, he's doing a great job. I mean, he's got, he really controls the strike zone well for a young player, a young catcher. You know, there's some physicality in there we think is going to come out as he matures. But he, you know, he puts a good at bat together. He does a good job behind the plate. We're excited about him as well. You know, TJ White's down there. You know, him and Brady House are obviously, you know, new high school draft picks from last year. They're young, but they're competing. You know, they're competing. TJ's doing a good job. He's competing. He's exciting. He's a high ceiling guy. He's got some big power. You know, he's going to take his lumps through as he develops as a young player in that league. You know, it's a tough league that, you know, losing that short season opportunity for these guys to play, you know, it puts guys like TJ White in a situation where he's got to go up and compete against guys that have been doing a little bit longer than he has. But he's been doing a good job. He's been holding his own, and we're excited about his future as well. And, you know, Brady obviously got off to a great start. He's really talented. He's, you know, physically mature for his, you know, for his age. He can impact the ball already. He can do a lot of good things. You know, he's been playing shortstop, moving around. You know, he did really well. He got caught in a little COVID spell, and he really hasn't been the same since he came back. So we're hoping he'll, you know, get his weight back on and get healthy and get rolling again. But he's, you know, he's been competing. He's been, you know, again, having some ups and downs, which is totally expected for this level and at their age. And he's somebody we're really excited about down the road as well. And, you know, see how these guys pan out. But they're an exciting group to watch. You know, it seems like, you know, our Fredericksburg club and our AAA club both were playing really well up till about, you know, a week or two ago. But that's baseball, right? You go through hot streaks and cold streaks, just like in the big leagues that happens in the minor league. So we're excited about both, you know, all our clubs, but that Fredericksburg club's exciting to watch. And, you know, they played together really well as a group, and it's fun to go in there and be around those guys.
Joe, what do you see as Brady House's power potential? And is he, you know, where does his power come? Is it a lot of pull side pop, or does he have the ability to shoot the ball out of the ballpark the other way as well?
I mean, he's got power potential all fields. You know, he's a unique guy. He's a big, strong guy, and he's just going to get bigger and stronger. He's still young. He's still a puppy, you know, years wise, but physically he's already physically strong, and he can hit the ball out to all fields. You know, he projects to do that, I think, down the road. But yeah, he's exciting. He's going to be fun to watch and see how it turns out down the road.
One more guy I want to ask you about, Joe, on an individual standpoint, it was also in that last draft with Brady House and TJ White and some of these other guys. And that's Darren Baker. We obviously know the name because of the last name, but he's a talented ball player, and that average for him this year has been around 300 seemingly pretty much the whole year. What does Darren do well, and what are the things that he needs to improve upon to try and work his way up through the ranks as a guy that isn't going to provide a lot of pop?
Yeah. I mean, he's exciting. He's a ball player. You know, he's not just a good ball player, but he's got skills too. You know, he's been fun to watch, fun to work with. He's a great kid, fun to be around. You know, I know the teammates love him. He just needs to continue to develop. He's in high A. He's where he should be. He's competing. He's doing well. You know, like you said, he's hitting around 300. He sprays the ball over the field. He's got a good feel, to hit a little bit and situational hit and do the things that we like, organizationally. But I think, you know, I think there's a little bit more pop in there than we see too. I think as he matures and kind of learns how to do some things, I mean, he's never going to be a big home run guy, but I think he's definitely a guy that can hit some doubles for us down the road and be a good guy for us down the road to help us out organizationally. But, you know, we're excited about him as well. He's been great for us.
Joe Dillon, Nationals minor league hitting coordinator, joining me on Nats Insider. And Joe D, I'll get you out of here on this one. You mentioned when I was talking to you about this role and seeing a bunch of different kids, you mentioned the technology and how that's impacted your work with these guys. I'm curious now, you've been a coach and instructor for a number of years, and the technological component has really changed a lot in the last 10, 15, 20 years within the game. How are you as a hitting coordinator utilizing the technology at these various affiliates to try and get the most out of these kids and maybe show them some stuff and relate what you're talking about in their terms, I guess I could say.
Yeah. So obviously, as you said, technology's, you know, coming in our game big time over the last 10 years or so, and all the information as well, which is all great, right? There's a time and place for it all. And so just in the development perspective, you know, I think a lot of teams went all in on everything. And again, there's a time and place for all of it. But for us, you know, I think adding some new roles, like we have David Longley, that's director of information technology, you know, in the minor leagues with us. And he's really been helping us just trying to build some infrastructure to use some of the tools and gather some of the information so we can ball it up and simplify it so we can help the players. Right. So for us, that's the biggest thing is information is great, but if we can't get it to the player and get on the field, it's useless. Right. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find spots where we can use this information. Obviously it's valuable if we can use it and get it to the player and have the player take it to the field and increase performance. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to, you know, simplify processes and make things better so it all flows better and give our coaches basically more tools and everything else to develop the hitters and get them where we want to be. And that's the way we're approaching it. But there's a lot of different things we're doing. We're just getting smarter and smarter with how things translate. And then now it's about executing it. So that's what we're building right now and trying to roll out. And as we help develop our guys.
Joe Dillon, Nationals minor league hitting coordinator, back with the Nats after a couple years away. And Joe D, we're thrilled to have you back with the organization. Miss seeing you around the ballpark here in DC. Hope you'll swing by maybe on one of your trips through the Mid-Atlantic area and pop in and say hello. But glad you're doing well, buddy. Thanks for taking some time with me. Great catching up with you.
Absolutely, Dan. Great talking to you. Great hearing your voice. And look forward to catching you up down the road. I think I'm actually going to cruise by there for the Pittsburgh series for a couple days. So I'll see you then.
Fantastic. Thanks, buddy.
That'll do it for Nats Insider this week. Thanks to Joe Dillon. Thanks to Gio Gonzalez. Fun episode. Thanks to all of you for listening as well. Have a good one, everybody. Go big or go home.